Hi, my lovely listener, this is Véronique, your host. So before I introduce you to the next guest, I want to make a little announcement. Some of you already know I'm a sound healer now, and I have a new path in my life, and this is fantastic. I love it, and I really want to share my gift with you. So if you're interested about having a sound bath, or if you want to know about sound bath, I do virtual sound bath because I know a lot of you are listening from abroad. So we can do Zoom, we can do YouTube. So if you're looking to relax, realign, and inner peace, offer virtual one-on-one sound healing sessions and online group sound bath designed to help you release stress and restore balance, and using the pure tones of crystal singing bowls and guided meditation, each session is a deeply calming experience from the comfort of your own space. So if you're ready to shift your energy and raise your vibration, visit my website, harmoniousechoes.com, to book your session today. Welcome to Aligned and Thriving. I'm your host, Véronique. Today, I speak with Lisa, who has spent over 30 years training an army of healers, helping thousands step into their psychic and energy healing abilities with confidence. A psychic counselor, Reiki master teacher, and spiritual mentor, Lisa has conducted over 15,000 individual sessions and taught Reiki for more than 25 years. But beyond the techniques, Lisa is passionate about something deeper, the connection between energy work and emotional resilience. In a world where people are overwhelmed and disconnected, she offers grounded, practical tools to help them heal, grow, and trust their inner wisdom. Let's hear it from Lisa. She's also the author of The Art of Psychic Reiki and the award-winning Energy Healing for Empaths, and hosts her own show where she brings warmth, insight, and a down-to-earth approach to spiritual growth. Hi, Lisa. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm very good, Véronique. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, I'm so happy. I'm so excited. I'm a fellow podcaster and a psychic, so we're going to have a great conversation today. So, how did you discover you were a psychic? I'm talking with a lot of psychics. One of my best friends is a psychic, and she said that all of us are psychic, but not all of us are awakened. So what happened to you? How did you first start? What age?
I really think I was born that way. So
okay.
I was born that my very, very first memories are being psychic. And I think it happened, honestly, because I had a twin brother that died in utero. And, you know, when you like twinsies are connected, like mentally, like we have a telepathic connection, and he died before we were born. And that my connection with him stayed even though he wasn't here. So I think that I was born psychic, and that my feeling on this is that it was to give me the gift that I have, that I had to go through that experience to give me the psychic gift. And that I knew, so I was literally, my very first memory ever is of like lying in my crib and seeing all these beings of light surrounding me, and then blowing kisses, and they were all glowing. And then my mother opened the door and walked into the room, and they all disappeared. So I feel like I was just born into that world. And I do totally agree with your friend that we all have psychic abilities and we can awaken them. Sometimes we have sudden something happens in our life that sort of suddenly awakens us, but we can also work on it. We can also, it's like a muscle that we can, if we decide we want to strengthen it, we can.
Yeah. Yeah. So in your crib. So yeah, how old were you? Were you a baby or were you like a toddler?
I was a baby. I mean, it was my very first memory. It's so weird to even remember that, but I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't remember a time ever having a time where I wasn't having psychic experiences.
Okay. So how do you think people can work on it and start to develop, you know, their psychic gift? We all have one, but how should we start if we want to develop it?
I think there's a really good exercise that I love that I recommend everybody starts with. It's about getting a psychic journal going. I actually think it's such a great idea that I published a psychic journal called the Psychic Awakening Journal. But you could just get any regular old journal and you start recording any dreams you have that you remember. You start, if you pull cards, like oracle cards, write them down. If you have see signs and omens, if you have hunches, nudges, if you have that first impression when you meet somebody for the first time, any little thing that feels like it's coming from your intuition, write it down and record it, because those experiences are very like ephemeral. Like they can be a big deal in the moment, but if we don't record it and write it down, we forget about it like 5 minutes later, you know, just like a dream. We forget about it 5 minutes later. And when we record it in a journal, then it's just like focusing our attention on it, focusing whatever we focus our attention on gets stronger. So I think that's kind of the first thing we can do. And then I think there's also a lot that we need to make time and space to be quiet, because our intuition, our psychic ability comes into the quiet moments of our life. And so many of us are so busy. We're, you know, always doing something, always listening to something, just running around and hustling. And we need those moments of like stillness to allow those messages to come forward in us. And maybe, you know, it's great if you can meditate. That's the best thing to do, but not everybody likes to do that or has time to do that. But maybe you get into your car and you don't turn on the radio, and you go into like, we'll naturally go into the alpha brainwave when we're driving. And it's kind of that like relaxed, floaty, daydreamy kind of mental state that we're the most intuitive, you know? Maybe it's walking the dog, doing the dishes, folding your laundry, taking a shower. People have their best psychic experiences in the shower.
I was going to tell you that. I was going to tell you all my ideas when I am in the shower.
I know. Because I think it's the only time we're quiet.
I know.
Like we're relaxed, we're quiet, we're not doing something else. So
yeah,
I think expanding those quiet moments, you know, if you go for a walk, don't bring your favorite podcast with you, although it's a shame to miss any minute of your podcast, Veronique, you know, like we need those quiet moments. So if we don't have quiet moments, we're not going to get anything.
Yeah. It's so hard right now, right? In those days, everything we have been bombarded with every seconds, and you don't want to miss anything. Right. Yeah, it's really hard.
Yeah.
So you also work with Reiki?
Yes.
I talk a lot about Reiki in my podcast. One of my last guests, she explained a little bit what Reiki was. How do you work with the, you know, with psychic gift and healing energy? How do you include Reiki in this?
Well, my very first book was called The Art of Psychic Reiki. And okay. Came out in 2018. And for many, many years, I've been teaching Reiki for 26 years now. And I was teaching Reiki and psychic development sort of at the same time. And I noticed that people would take my Reiki classes, they would take my psychic development classes, and they just really fit together really well. Because when we do Reiki, it often opens us to our psychic ability. I always say it's Reiki, yoga, and meditation are the three gateways that when we do them, we open to a larger spiritual world. We open to our own intuitive and psychic abilities. And there's something about the attunement process in Reiki that when you get attuned to Reiki, when you're studying and you get attuned, it pops open your psychic ability. So I had the student come to me, or one of my Reiki students, and she's like, yeah, I got Reiki like 5 years ago. And all of a sudden there were like dead people walking through my room. It like opened a portal to my psychic abilities. And she told me she asked her Reiki teacher what to do about it. And her Reiki teacher was like, basically told her to knock that off. Like, I don't know, like, that's not part of Reiki. Quit doing that. Stop doing that. I don't want to talk about it. That stuff freaks me out. Like, stop, you know?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh my God, I just stopped doing Reiki because no Reiki teacher could answer my question about what do I do about this? And she's like, and then I found you, you know, because I was already working as a psychic since I was 19 years old. And then teaching Reiki on top of that. So to me, they just go together really naturally. And it makes perfect sense if you're studying Reiki and you want to be a healer to open your intuitive gifts and your psychic gifts to be able to include those in the toolkit that you have as a healer. So to me, it makes perfect sense. And I just think when we walk down this sort of any spiritual pathway, we tend to open up our gifts if whatever we have starts to open.
So you help people, you're healing them, people who are stuck in life. Well, a lot of empath also because they're taking a lot on.
Yep.
So what would you say to somebody? So who is your usual customer, I would say? Who comes to you for help?
Mostly psychics, healers, and empaths, people who find themselves in the middle of a psychic opening, who wake up one day and they're like, we were just saying their psychic senses are on, or they're wanting to develop that. Those are mostly my students. And as far as my clients go, I think it's people who are undergoing a spiritual awakening, or people who are in crisis, people feel really stuck, like they don't know what to do to move forward. And that's where talking to a psychic can be really helpful. I think the number one question I get is from people who want to know what their life purpose is.
Yes.
It drives people nuts not to know what their life purpose is. We all know we're here for something. We all know we came here to contribute, and our life is meant to be meaningful, purposeful. And when people feel like, you know, they feel stuck, they're spinning their wheels and they don't know what their purpose is, drives them crazy. That's the question I probably get the most frequent.
Yeah. I think I just found mine. I'm in my 50s and I've been working corporate for 30 years, for a long time. And recently I just started a training as a sound healer.
Wow.
I don't know where I'm like, I think that's what I'm supposed to do.
I love that.
I mean, best decision I ever, taking in my life. It's
That's so cool. Are you doing life-changing. Crystal balls or tuning
Crystal
fork?
Balls. Yeah.
Crystal balls, amazing.
Crystal balls, yeah.
So I worked in an energy medicine school with my friend Reese Thomas for 15 years. We trained healers, and he's an incredible sound healer. And he uses crystal balls. So every time we were in class, he would play the bowls. We would do an hour of crystal bowls. And it just opened everyone's energy fields. It opened everyone's everything, you know? It was so I'm such a fan, especially of the crystal bowls. So good for you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's so powerful. And it's because I was talking with one of my guests. Mm-hmm. And something happened when we were talking, and I just went that road, and I love it. Don't look back.
Yeah, so, great.
So talking about energy and Reiki and empath, you mentioned something that I never heard before. I think I know what it is, but I never heard that term before. Sorry, energy vampires. What is that? Is that people who take?
Yeah, people who take, yeah. Energy vampires. And there are just certain people in life, whether they're just wired that way, or maybe they've fallen on hard times, you know, like I think any of us can become an energy vampire if we're really needy, if we're having a bad day, like if we're in a bad time of our life, we just are super needy. But energy vampires don't know how to fill themselves with their own energies. They want to take what you have, and you have beautiful energy, and you've got a great heart, and I'm just gonna hook into you and like drain you. And that can be like, you know, that friend that gets on the phone with you and they talk for an hour straight about their problems and they complain, and they never take your advice. They don't really seem like they want to change anything. They're just addicted to the drama. And then they're like an hour later, like they're like, oh, I'm so out of time now. I'd love to hear about you, but I got to go. And then you feel like taking a nap afterwards because you're so exhausted.
Oh my God. Did you just read my life? Because that was my life like 15 years ago. And thank God I did a lot of work, you know, on myself. And they all disappeared at the same time. But I had that friend who called me for an hour. And when I hung up the phone, I already talked about that in previous podcast. I was so drained. I had to take a nap. I was so tired. But at that time, you know, I wasn't spiritually really like awake or anything. I didn't do anything. But if I have known, oh my God. Yeah. That's what we need to know, like that. We need
You know, there's a lot of talk these days too about the empaths and the narcissists. So the narcissists are sort of, there's like the victim vampire, which we were just talking about, super needy people, but there's also the narcissists. And most people know about that kind of the magnetism between empaths and narcissists. Like every empath on the planet has magnetized narcissists into our life. We marry them, or they become our boss, or I don't know what, you know, they just come in close, and we are sensitive people with kind hearts, and that we're like sort of food for them, like energy lunch for them. And they take our time, your energy, your emotions, your resources, the gas in your car, the food in your fridge, the credit, credit cards. They max them out. And as soon as they've drained everything out of you, then they're gone.
They're
on to the next one. So that's kind of like the predatory energy vampire, or what we know as narcissists. And then the other kind of energy vampire we have to worry about are the really sensitive empaths types who, I always want to hold everybody's hands before I say this, can become energy vampires themselves. Like if you're an empath and you're sensitive and you let other people drain you to the point where you have no energy left whatsoever and you're a total burnout, you may become an energy vampire. So we have to be very careful. Empaths are, you know, really susceptible to that if we don't take responsibility for our energy and if we don't set boundaries and say no and come out of our codependent relationships where in our chronic overgiving, we can be really in danger of becoming energy vampires ourselves.
And I don't know about you, but in my family or even my husband, people told me, you know, don't you see this person is taking your energy? Don't you see blah, blah, blah? Don't you see this person is taking too much of your time? But you don't listen to them. You're like, no, she needs me. I'm their friends. What are they going to do without me? It takes a long time to get rid of the brainwash, right? I don't know if that happened to you. If people told you that person alone, she has to deal with her own demons or you cannot, after a while, you cannot help them, right? And they don't, like you say, they don't listen to you anyway.
No.
They don't listen to advice anyway.
It's a really deep old pattern. I feel like we get it from our childhoods and it's basically that pattern of codependency. Like we really love, and we love to help. We love to give. We're, you know,
people.
And we tend to be healers, you know, at heart. So we want to give, we want to help. But there's codependency is like, well, I'm not okay if you're not okay, you know? So I'm going to make you okay so I can be okay. That's true. It's very hard to like break that dynamic. And we have to really do that and then set better boundaries. We have to be able to say no. If you start saying no a lot in your life and you're not, and your people are not used to that, they're going to get really mad. They get really mad. They throw a fit. Then who's ever still around you is probably your real people. You know, you clear out the vampires when you start saying no.
And so you like working with souls. So what do you mean by that? You like to connect with some people's souls. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, it's sort of the way that I do psychic work. So I call myself a soul reader and looking at like every psychic works in a different way. And I think my specialty as a psychic is to look at who you are at the level of your soul. And that's the part of you that is never changes. It's the part of you, the essential nature of you that no matter what incarnation or lifetime you're in, it's that you part. And to look at that piece, I'm like, we might look at your past lives. We might look at what your life purpose is, what you're meant to do here, what the themes of your past lives are, what your soul contracts are with the people in your life, you know, what is coming in your future, what your soul is meant to express itself here. So to me, the soul is like the most essential nature. It's like the higher self, right? The most essential nature of you. And I think that's the most fascinating part of people. And when I do readings for people, that's what I'm tuning into.
And so you've been doing this for 20?
I've been doing it since I was 19. It's 40 years.
40 years? Okay.
I know.
Wow. So you're pro. So yeah. Is there something like very surprising that you encounter during one of your sessions or that you learn about, you know, the human soul?
Yeah. I mean, so much is beautiful. I really feel like I'm in a constant state of awe and wonder and amazement about the resiliency of human spirit. Because mostly what I, you know, like any, and I was also trained as a therapist. So I was doing psychic readings and therapy together for a long time. And what amazes me is the level of trauma that we've all been through. Like when you really sit down, you could grab anyone off the street. And if you really talk to what happened to them, you're like, oh my God, that's so horrible. Like what we've all been through, every single one of us. And somehow we're still so resilient. We still care. We still open our heart. It's the beauty and resilience of the human spirit in the midst of trauma that it's, I think, the most incredible thing. You know, it's not that we don't get knocked back and we have to like do some our healing, but somehow to hold on to the, you know, an open heart and we still care. I think humans are incredible. And that's what I really come back to over and over again. I mean, I've seen some very strange mystical things too, like you know, angelic beings or shadow spirits. I've seen, you know.
Do you see angels? Like
oh,
that?
Yeah. Angels. I've seen shadow spirits. I've seen somebody came into my office and they were like, I think I'm cursed. And I'm like, I don't believe that. And when I really looked at it, I was like, oh my God, you are. Like,
really? Can you be cursed?
You can be cursed. It happens all the time. And I'm also totally shocked how common black magic is. I see people under the influence of black magic quite frequently, which I never believed in until I saw it like 100 times.
I don't believe in it. I don't believe you can be cursed unless you believe in it yourself and you let it happen to yourself. You know what I mean? Because I had a friend that she's all over this because she welcomed that into her life. And I said, okay, yeah, you are cursed. But because you let that door open to that person to do that to you.
It's totally true. I think it's a two-way street. But also, if you think about it this way, if we send healing energy, we can also sort of reverse the flow and send negative energy. We send negative energy to people all the time. Like, you know, we curse people when we're in a traffic accident, or you're cursing your ex-mother-in-law. You're like, you know, and that negative energy that we send out impacts people.
That's why you have to protect yourself as a healer, right?
Yes.
How do you protect yourself? Do you protect yourself every day after reading?
Every day.
You have to get rid of that bad.
Every day when I wake up in the morning, every day before I work. And I like the white bubble, like putting myself in an energetic bubble, having a good energetic boundary. Mm-hmm. And I call on my spirit guides to help protect me too. The angels that I work with and other guides protect me. But I think it's really a lot about having boundaries. And just like you said, you know, if you let it in, it's a big problem. So, you know, we have to make sure that we don't have an opening for that. And I teach psychic self-defense. And I studied martial arts for a long time.
You did everything.
Mostly because I just wanted to be a Jedi Knight when I was little.
Yeah.
I took martial arts classes. And my sense of psychic self-defense is a lot about, like, you know, street smarts, just being street smarts. If we have our wits about us and we have a good boundary, we don't have to worry so much about it. People do, like, they get themselves into trouble. Like, don't do what you see on the paranormal TV shows. Don't play with a Ouija board. Don't take the Ouija board into the abandoned mental hospital on Halloween. And don't do that and then smoke a lot of weed. Don't do that. Don't do any of those things. If you do those things, don't call me, because
it's too late. The Ouija board, I was talking about it with another guest a few weeks ago. And I was telling him, oh my God, when I was like 14, we were playing with that every day, my friends. And that thing was moving. We were like using like a glass. And that thing was moving. And I thought somebody was pushing it. And the guest was telling me, oh no, nobody was pushing that.
Yeah, I know. We were all at, like, you know, junior high school sleepovers in our friends' basements playing with the Ouija board.
Play with this.
I know. I did it too, but it is really actually quite dangerous. So I don't recommend it.
Yeah, no. But I'm happy, you know, because at that age you're so ignorant. So I hope nothing bad happened, right?
Yeah.
So for people who don't know anything about psychic reading or anything like that, before, you know, like a long time ago, I didn't know. No, I know. And when I get a reading, we talk a lot about our past life and how that can influence your current life.
Yeah.
So what do you do when, what do you tell, you know, the person you're talking to about the past life that can influence their current life? Do you, like, help them, you know, get rid of anything that still doesn't serve them anymore?
Yeah, I think that's the purpose. And the really, I mean, it's always fascinating, you know, but I think the most useful way to do past life readings, or the reason to do it, is when there's something from a past life that's still influencing you, you know. Like, just the other day, I did a reading for this woman who was having a lot of difficulty in her relationship with her brother. She's like, I just don't know. It's just the weirdest relationship. It's kind of unhealthy. I don't know. He's a grown man and I don't know how to let go of him. And he's messing up his life and I always want to save him. And I could just feel that there was a past life there. And when I looked at it, I could tell that she had been his mother in a past life.
There you go.
And that he had died. And she felt like extreme guilt that he died. He like drowned when she was supposed to be watching him, you know?
It's horrible.
She just felt this incredible guilt and like she had to save him. She had to rescue him. And this is it, you know, it was impacting her in this lifetime, even though it happened in another lifetime. And when we talked about it, kind of like brings it fully into our consciousness. It kind of breaks the energetic connection. It allows the emotions to start to heal. And then she could begin, because she could understand what was going on and why she felt the way she did, she could begin to make other choices. Like, well, I'm just going to let him He's a grown man. I'm going to let him deal with his own issues, and I'm not going to save him and rescue him every single time he gets into trouble. I'm going to let him figure it out. And so she was able to begin to heal from that past life and kind of let herself off the hook, because she could never understand why she always felt guilty about his pain and suffering, you know, or why she always felt responsible. So just sometimes knowing the past life can begin to break up the energy that was stuck. It can help us process our feelings, and then it can impact us greatly in the life that we're having now, which is really the point.
Yeah, it's very important. Past life, and also when I got reading, the psychic tell me about the influence from other, you know, people in my life who are already passed away, for instance, you know, or like they're still in my aura or something like that. And she's like, we don't need that. Bye-bye. You don't need them.
Yeah.
Let's tell them goodbye. Thank you very much. Going to be influenced by other spiritual beings. So that can be a block. Is there any block that you know that, like common, like soul level block? What would that be if somebody comes to you?
I think it's when we form cords with people, energetic cords. And that's what energy healers call them, but we see them as sort of connecting, like strings of connectivity between people. But when you really love somebody, those cords are made out of light and they're not a problem. But when we have painful or dysfunctional relationships with people, or we end relationships with people, we need to clear them out, because they'll continue to impact us even when the relationship is over. And that's when, like, you can't stop forgetting about your ex. Like, you broke up years ago, but you still think about them. You know, you still dream about them. Like, and maybe you're sending each other energy through this energetic cord. And the more dysfunctional and painful the relationship is, the more those need to go. It's almost like we can't heal. We can't sort of move on and heal from relationships until we clear them out. So I do a lot of cord cutting, and people who come in and ask for that particular service, and that just there's such liberation and freedom and a beginning. You can really move on. If you can't move on, it's probably because there's a cord.
Wow. Right? I needed you like 10 years ago. Okay. I broke up my ex. I thought for me, we already moved on, met my husband, and I was still dreaming about him. And I was just waking up angry. I'm like, why did I dream about that man? I'm not with him anymore. And I think I moved on. So maybe there was a little cord still there.
Right.
But I think I work on it, and now, thank God, I don't dream about him. I don't think about him at all. But yeah, makes sense now.
Yeah, that's why.
And I saw something on your website that made me laugh. You said that every day is Christmas at work, at the office. So is it because you're connecting with people who come to see you at, you know, at your office for help? What do you prefer, you know, what excites you the most in connecting with someone's soul?
Well, I feel like it is like Christmas morning to unwrap somebody, like to really look in at who they are as a soul. We're all incredibly beautiful as souls. And to me, there's this sort of reverence, honor, beauty, and joy that I feel like I'm unwrapping a beautiful present, you know, when I look at your soul, when anybody's soul. And so that's what I meant when I said that. I think what I really like, and I do still love to do private sessions. I don't do them so often anymore because mostly I'm teaching and writing. I think what I love to do the most now is mentor people who help people who are undergoing psychic openings and need help. Because when I did it, I mean, I was born in the 60s. And when I was growing up in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, there was nothing. There was no help. I couldn't talk about it. There were no books in the library, no psychics on TV, no internet. Think about it. No podcasts, nothing. Zero. Just like you be quiet is, you know, shh, right? Don't talk about it.
Oh, they think you're going to be crazy or so, right?
Yeah, they're going to put you in a mental hospital if you talk to angels and see dead Uncle Fred, right? So, you know, I had to be quiet. It was really hard. And I feel really strongly, you know, if I can help other people go through that in a more graceful way than I did, that's what really motivates me. That's why I write the books that I wish I could have found in the library. I teach the classes that I wanted that I couldn't get. I became the mentor that I was looking for, you know, that was so hard to find. So I think that's to me the most exciting part of my work right now. And what really lights me up is being able to help other people that maybe you've discovered you're an empath and you need help with that. Maybe you're you took the Reiki yoga meditation and now your psychic is opening and you're like, I don't know what's happening here. Or I work a lot with people who want to become professional psychic healers. And that's why I still love teaching Reiki. And maybe you feel really called to be a healer in the world right now. And, you know, goodness knows the world needs all the healers it can get. Now's the time, just like you said, you know, you feel this calling to become a sound healer. So I love working with people who feel that calling to be a healer, but maybe it's really hard to do it on your own. It's so much better if you have a mentor, a process, a community, you know, someplace you can go where other people are also doing that.
Is it when you help them to live like a soul aligned, you know, life,
yes,
like having
right.
this purpose and
yes.
can feel, it's true, you can feel suddenly like completely lost or hopeless, or maybe like you just lost your job or you lost somebody and all of a sudden you don't know why are you on this earth, right?
Right. You know, or maybe you're in a job, but it doesn't resonate for you. Like, you know, work with a lot of people who feel that calling to be a healer and then sort of leave their soul crushing job to do something more interesting or do something that they really feel called to do. And I think it's so much better if we have support in that process.
And you're surrounded, you know, by a good community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can give you good advice and help you navigate
all
of that.
Have to hide what you're going through, and especially with the psychic stuff, because it's so much better now than it was when I was growing up. But even now, you can live places where you can't talk about it, or you don't know who. It's okay to say, I think I saw a ghost standing at the foot of my bed, or I think I have an angel that's hanging around with me all the time. You know, maybe you're around people that think that's cool, maybe you're around people that, you know, still want to throw rocks at you and drag you to the church and throw holy water on you. Like, you know, not everybody lives in a place where you can talk about it even today.
And for people who are curious, but they're still skeptical, you know, about this, the soul work,
yeah.
What would you invite them, you know, to explore and to have an open mind?
Yeah. What
would you tell them?
I always say I respect skeptics. And I am a bit of a skeptical person myself. I try to have an open mind. I don't really believe things until they happen to me, until I have my own direct experience. Then I'm like, okay, that's real. But I'm always questioning things. So I just think it's okay to be skeptical. It, you know, it just means you're smart and you're thinking for yourself. And if you want to change that, then a session with a reputable psychic or reputable medium. Mediums are psychics who specialize in talking to dead people. Enter into that world in a safe way through somebody that has a good reputation and that is respected in your community. That's the way to do it. Don't start playing around with the dangerous side of the paranormal because it can be really dangerous.
Yeah. Don't invite, you know, something in your life that you don't want, because
that's right.
Yeah, that could be dangerous.
When they get curious, they turn to the paranormal and they do like ghost investigations, which I've done plenty of that in my life. And a lot of the things that we see people doing on TV are really dangerous.
Oh, yeah?
And they're fine. They're okay if you know what you're doing, if you're an expert. But if you just do it without knowing anything, I always say it's a bit like, well, I don't really believe in sharks, so I'm going to chum the water and then jump in to see if sharks are for real.
Can you give me an example? Because I don't watch those kind of shows. What did you see? Like one show you saw, you're like, oh no, please don't do that. That's dangerous.
Yeah. People, you know, do something called provocation, which is like a technique where you call out the spirit. You make them mad on purpose. And you're trying to stir them up so that they'll get sort of violent or, you know, and sometimes EVP, like the electronic voice phenomenon, people use a tape recorder. Or digital recorder, and you ask a question, you get a response. Now they have apps you can use on your phone.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, what happens when you do that is you just attract every spirit in like a 10-mile radius who's lost and wants to like jump, get attention. And it's a little bit like ringing the dinner bell, and you never know who's going to show up.
Yeah. Okay. So please, people, don't do that. Okay. Don't play with this.
If you're going to do it, do it mindfully. Get some training. Don't do it by yourself. Do it, you know, get training from a reputable group. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying be careful and don't do it by yourself when you have no idea what you're doing.
Alone in your house.
Alone in your house.
In
Alone
the
in the neighborhood graveyard. Don't do that.
On Halloween night.
Okay. Yeah.
So what kind of program do you offer? Because I saw that you had some programs.
Yeah, I have a lot. So I teach psychic Reiki.
Okay.
Which is my blend of Reiki plus psychic development. And I have all kinds of psychic development programs, from beginner to intermediate to pro level, and even like so pro, like you want to quit your day job and become a professional psychic. So that's what I have right now available. So all kinds of Reiki and psychic development.
The Reiki that you offer, that you train people on, is it the Reiki to help like on the soul level, or is it also on the physical? Because I heard that Reiki can heal your soul physically.
Yeah, Reiki really works on every level of our being. So it works physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And when you first start Reiki level one, most of the practice is self-healing practice, which I think is so beautiful because we all need a way to heal ourselves, right? And so you work a lot on giving Reiki to yourself. I think that's amazing. And then the other levels are taking it more to working on other people. But yeah, and the way that I do it is I blend in psychic development. So I blend in a lot of energy hygiene, energy management, how, especially if you're an empath or a sensitive, and you start doing Reiki, you really want to know how to protect yourself, how to guard your energy, and how to manage your energy. So I blend it in with that, and also how to use your intuition, how to open your intuition, how to open up to your team of spirit guides and invite them in so that you can. And a lot of people who are really psychic and take Reiki find they're like, I was just doing a Reiki session and this lady's dead granny came in and I didn't know what to do, you know? So that can happen. That can happen, or your angels, somebody's angels show up, or who knows. So I think like the training that I have sort of teaches us how to use those things so we can help other people.
I have a question. When you say, you know, those angels shows up, or you see, you know, dead people or whatever, is it something you see clearly, your eyes open, or is it when you're in deep meditation? For people who don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, it's very rare that I see things with my physical eyes. So although when I was a child, I did. It's more seeing things with your inner eye. So our psychic senses are more like it's like the voice in your head. You think it's your voice, but it's not your voice. Or you're seeing it inside your mental eye, your mind's eye, like a little picture. Like I see it like a little movie playing inside my head. I rarely would actually see it like with my eyes open. Because that's freaky. I don't like that.
I know. That's why every time you were talking about all those stories, I'm like, no.
I don't like that either, Veronique. I've been this way my whole life. So I see it with my mental eye, my inner eye, my psychic eye. So, or we have a knowing. So you might feel it in your body. You might just know. You don't know why you know. You just know, or you sense it. You feel it. You hear it. You might smell it or taste it or know it. Like there's so many channel psychic information comes through. We call those the clairs, you know, the psychic senses. So we can be open to all of that and then see how we're perceiving. I like the word perceiving better than seeing. So how you perceive there's an angel in the room, or even someone said granny, there's no reason to be scared. Usually they're showing up because they're helpful. It's like they're in heaven and they are visiting and they're bringing love and support and help. It's nothing. It's not like a horror movie that, you know, you have to, they're coming to get you. It's not like that. They're here to help you.
Yeah, because the psychic I talked to, she said she sees pictures, you said. She sees pictures.
Yeah, it's more like a movie for me.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about your last book. So what's the title? What is it about?
It's called Awakening Your Psychic Ability. It's basically what we've been talking about this whole time. Like, how psychic ability is like any ability, like athletic ability, musical ability. And that means we all have it. Everyone has some athletic ability, some musical ability, some psychic ability. But we, with musical ability and athletic ability, we don't look at professional musicians and athletes and think they never trained it. We know they worked hard to get it. They worked hard and they practice. And that's what this book is about. It's helping you develop the muscle and do all the practices so that you can maximize your psychic ability, whatever that is.
Okay. And I saw the book behind you. And you have three other books, right? Are they different or is it also around psychic ability?
They're all sort of about that. So the first one's called The Art of Psychic Reiki, and that's the blend of Reiki and psychic development. The second one is called Energy Healing for Empaths. That's the one that talks about energy vampires and how to manage your energy if you're sensitive. And then there's Awakening Your Psychic Abilities. And that has the companion book, the journal, the Psychic Awakening Journal, that's more like a workbook or an exercise book to help you do the practices that will help you open to your psychic ability.
Okay, great. And we can get all those books on Amazon, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Anything you want to add that maybe I didn't ask?
No, that was such a beautiful conversation, Veronique. And I just want to thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Thank you. I had a lot of fun. Thank you very much, especially talking about all those weird things, you know, and I'm telling you that Ouija board, oh my God, that thing shouldn't even exist. Why do we have that?
I don't know. And when I was growing up, you find it in the toy section of a
Target or stuff like that. You can find it. It's so bizarre. But anyway, thank you, Lisa. And I will put all your information, of course, in the show notes if people want to contact you and take classes with you and you can help them. That's beautiful. And, you know, I wish you all the best for the book.
Thank you so much.
Helping people around.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on your podcast. It was so much fun.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. Bye. Hi, my lovely listeners. Thank you so much for listening to my last episode. I really appreciate it. Some of you already know I'm a sound healer now and I have a new path in my life, and this is fantastic. I love it. And I really want to share my gift with you. So if you're interested about having a sound bath, or if you want to know about sound bath, you can just send me an email. I will put everything in the show notes, and this way you can have a look and just contact me through my website. So if you're looking to relax, realign, and reconnect with your inner peace, let's have a virtual sound healing sessions designed to help you release stress and restore balance using the pure tones of crystal singing bowls and guiding meditation. Each session is a deeply calming experience from the comfort of your own space. Shift your energy and raise your vibration. Visit my website, harmoniousechoes.com, to book your session today.